It's Cofield and Company, live on location.
What an incredible achievement. I mean, I can't say enough about them doing that.
It's over for Cam Newton. Nice knowing you, but you're done.
And he sucked. He had absolutely no... God, I hate that guy.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
Hanging out at the TI Golden Circle Sports Bar. Things heating up here. Got happy hour for a little while longer. It's a great spot to come any day of the week. Great Monday Night Football deals, weekend football deals as well. Bucket, pitcher specials. Got the $12 beer and a nacho special, affordable apps. Yeah, we're on the strip. The parking is free. Free, 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 which, my God, that's special now, right? Golden Circle, TI on a Wednesday. We just witnessed a heartwarming moment. A young man who wants to get into the media walked up to Adam Hill and said, "Hey, how do I get in? What do I do?" And Adam was like, "Talk to him." What's wrong with you?
You're the radio professional.
You've been in radio long enough. You know the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, don't curse.
That's it?
Pretty much.
You know how to get jobs. We just had John Murray mention that you have 19 jobs. You must know how to get different jobs.
Yeah. Be willing to work a lot for a little. That's the other thing.
You know what's funny? I don't know that we've... Maybe it's not funny. Or entertaining. So you know what? Should we just move on? I actually don't know how you got involved in anything I do. I'm thinking it basically was you were friends with friends of mine, and then I just think that you were like laying on our couch, and that has now turned into you co-hosting the show.
I think so.
So I should have told them that. You know what?
I'm a hanger-on.
Just find some radio people, befriend them, just kind of be a pest and be around all the time and sleep on their couch.
Well, sorry, I know we're getting into the Big Five, but while we're doing this, if the people that I met at Jason's Deli yesterday are listening, I am sorry. Like, I was not trying to be a jerk at all.
What'd you do?
I didn't do anything. This is exactly what happened. Because it's always awkward, and you know that I cannot. Yeah. I'm so bad.
You're the worst.
So I'm walking around. There's a table of guys, and everybody's sitting around one guy talking to him. And I thought it was somebody famous, and I'm trying to figure out who it is. And so I'm walking by and, like, staring at this table, like, who is that guy? Why are they all talking to him? And these other two dudes are standing by where you get the iced tea. And I'm walking up to them, and they're, like, waiting to say something to me. And I'm like, oh, these guys are going to say, hey, did you see who that was? Like, that's what I thought was going to go on. But no, they were standing there waiting to say, hey, we love the show. Really cool to meet you. And I was so thrown off by, like, I thought you were going to ask me about that guy. I didn't know that you were going to say anything to me. So I was like, oh, cool, thanks. And then just went about my business. And I was like, I did not mean anything. I just thought you guys were going to point out who that famous guy was to me, and then you said something to me. So, yeah. Very cool to meet you guys yesterday, and I'm sorry if I was a jerk about it.
It's too late now, and they're probably not listening because they're not going to listen ever again because you snubbed them.
I didn't snub them at all. I was nice. I was just I was like, hey, what's up? You know, thanks. I don't think I was a jerk about it. It was just I was very much expecting them to tell me who that famous guy was, and they were just waiting to talk to me.
You really are awkward. And here's the other thing. Don't compliment Adam because he gets thrown off.
Yeah.
If you walk up to him and you want to talk to him, go, man, I listen. I don't like you.
That's the perfect
one. And then you'll be like, okay.
Because I'll get the attempted hugs, which I know people are just trolling me, but I don't like it. It's very uncomfortable. And then if, like, hey, really big fan, love the show, I don't know what to say.
You just freaking shut down.
I'm so thrown off, and I'm so uncomfortable about that.
Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
So, one, Ryan McKinnell, our good friend who does the show daily, 2 o'clock on 920 The Game, our sister station. And two, Adam Hill, you guys have been following more than I have, this Area 51 thing. Do I need to leave town?
No, but here's the thing. I've been kind of following it, but not enough. And that's my question to you. Like,
You're asking me?
I'm like, are we missing something? Like,
yes.
I thought it was a big joke.
No.
But now it's getting closer. Like, it feels kind of real, and it's freaking me out.
Well, I saw something today. They're doing, like, an Area 51 concert downtown, so I think they're trying to fool them. Like, yeah, come around and have a good time. Don't go to Area 51 and get murdered.
But are they? Because it's Life is Beautiful weekend downtown. So.
Oh, so they're just, like, a little offshoot?
I think so. But they were going to do...
they just renamed.
But they were going to
They renamed part of it. They're like, Area 51 over here!
Well, when they got all of these people coming for Storm Area 51, they decided to do a music festival up in the area. And then another festival was like, no, we're doing it. So it was like dueling festivals. And then there was threats of lawsuits to be like, hey, you can't bring all these people up to Area 51. So I know one backed out. They're still going to do one show. But there's way too many people going there. I was talking to people today that were up, you know, at the gas station where you're, you know, one of the last things before you get up there. And it was just swarmed with people. I don't think they're ready to sell gas. I don't think they're ready with power or bathrooms or – and it's absolutely Firefest 2. But, like, this is about to happen, like, less than 100 miles from us. And I don't think anybody's really paying attention except to say it's a joke. I still think it's kind of a joke. I don't think anything's going to go wrong or happen or be too crazy. But, like, am I being too cavalier and too, like, cautious and ignorant of it? And is some crazy stuff going to happen the next couple of days here? Like, I don't know.
I'm researching it tonight. I may get out of town.
Well, luckily it's out of town a little bit, so you can't really go north. You're going to have to go somewhere else. You can go to Minneapolis with me.
No, okay. I don't want to do that. Okay. I'd rather get overrun by Area 51 wackos.
I'll be hanging out at the Mall of America.
I definitely don't want to do that.
Why? It's going to be great.
That sounds awful. Next up.
Number 4.
Remember WikiLeaks? Wake Forest?
Yeah.
A former assistant for Wake, this is back in 2016, is on the broadcast crew. Apparently, he dislikes the head coach and some of the other coaches so much that he starts leaking information to multiple opponents. He gets caught. Did we just have something like this in high school football?
It appears that way. A guy named Justin Hager, who's a coach at Mountain Point High School, he was the head coach of the girls' basketball team. He was an assistant on the football team since 2016. Apparently, has been sending emails with the game plan, with the play calls, with PDFs of play sheets, everything possible in emails to opponents ahead of their games. He's an assistant coach on the team. For now, the investigation has revealed no motive. I would have to think the motive is he's not happy with the head coach. He wants to be the head coach. Something. Because he's an assistant coach and he's giving away the game plans. This is insane. Now, there is a local tie here because he's been doing it with opponents in Arizona, where the school is, for a while now. Apparently, they were playing Faith Lutheran here in Las Vegas, and he sent a copy of the game plan and the play sheets and all the other things ahead of time to Vernon Fox, the head coach at Faith Lutheran, and Vernon was like, what is this? He sent it back, said, I don't want this. Please don't send this to me, and then went to the head coach, and he was like, I don't know what's going on here, but your guy is sending us this information, and we don't want it. Now, other schools have said they received information but didn't use it. I'm kind of skeptical of that, because if you didn't use it, why not say something? But it appears that Vernon Fox from Faith Lutheran is the one that finally said, like, enough of this. What is going on here? And it has been shut down. Now there's an investigation going on. They are still trying to figure it out. Now, one of the coaches that received this information last year is now an assistant coach at Arizona State. So he was a high school coach. He has now moved on to the college ranks. He said, I never saw an email. But then he said, when I got the email, so he did see it. He just is trying to backtrack now. He said, when I got it, turned it directly over to my athletic director and was told to delete it immediately. And it was the end of discussion on that one. So this is a very weird story. I'm sure we'll find out exactly what his problem was with the head coach. But I guess props to Faith Lutheran and Vernon Fox for being the ones to finally end this and turn these guys in?
Well, this is also interesting because of the whole influence that football has on the Utes of America, right?
Yeah.
So I want to go back to, because I was trying to look at the schedule for this Mountain Point, right? Because that's a school, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Faith Lutheran, faith-based school, right? Parochial school. You'd figure at schools like that, there's actually even a higher standard, right? Don't cheat. And it takes me back to WikiLeaks. Do you remember who turned out to be the ethical school that turned in the Wake Forest cheater leaking stuff to the opponents? Ready for this one? Louisville!
Nice.
Louisville did it. You know who else was on the schedule? Who had a guy accept the information and probably use it to his advantage? Army.
Not a good sign.
Think about that. At West Point, there has to be higher standards. You know what Army did to the coach who had to admit eventually that he got information? He got a fine and a 2-game suspension. And you know what happened to him since? He kept working in Army. And you know what happened to him since then? He got a job with Mac Brown, probably for more money, at North Carolina. That's the lesson that is learned in these cheating scandals. That the coach who does it, in the end, really doesn't suffer a penalty. Why would the kids learn anything good in these cases? You have creeps like that on the football staff, supposedly the guys who are molding the minds of these young men.
Yeah, not only didn't receive a penalty, got basically advanced their career because as part of it.
So this, after my little rant, would be a pat on the back to Faith Lutheran and Vernon Fox.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
You did what was right.
Yes, and very many do not, as we've seen through all these scandals.
Next up.
Number 3.
Speaking of low character, well, at least according to Chris Mortensen. I don't know what's going on. We got an NFL reporter tiff. And I love that it involves Ian Rappaport. Ian Rappaport is the guy who got the Antonio Brown report incorrect. Said he was going to the Bills during the summer. He wasn't. He's also got a track record of being a selfish punk. Remember this one from a radio appearance in Washington, D.C., with one of our favorite volatile radio hosts, Chad Dukes. Listen to what Rappaport pulled during this spot.
So he's not part of your team. And then, so once you decide so he's not part of your team, then it's really just, you know, get what it get for him.
Ian Rappaport is my guest on Chad Dukes First Report, NFL Network, of course. The exclusive.
I'm sorry. I need to take this phone call. I apologize.
That is the last time we have son of a bitch on this show. I swear to God. What a piece of garbage that guy is. That's twice he's done that. That's twice. And he sucked. God, I hate that guy.
That's Chad Dukes. He's on radio. Chris Mortensen's on TV, and he still writes a little bit. Does Mort also hate that guy? What's going on with Mort?
I mean, Mort will not say, but I think there's a lot of evidence building up.
What's happening with the legend Mort?
So Mort and Adam Schefter paired up on a couple of news items on Monday. Yeah. And on each of the news items, three different tweets, Ian Rappaport tweeted out the exact same thing 1 minute after them. So it was Jalen Ramsey's agent asking for a trade. Ian Rappaport, 1 minute later, sources... Pro Bowl cornerback Jalen Ramsey has requested a trade from the team.
Mm.
And then a couple minutes later, Chris Mortensen sends out a rat emoji.
Wait, that's it? Nothing written with it, just a rat?
Just a rat.
Here we go.
Now, later in the evening, Adam Schefter tweets out, trade, Steelers trading 2020 first round pick to the Dolphins for Minkah Fitzpatrick, league sources tell ESPN. 1 minute later again, Ian Rappaport tweets out the same thing. Chris Mortensen, 4 minutes later, tweets out two rats. So Mortensen has not said anything about this, but I think we can follow the pattern, because later in the evening, just a half hour later, Adam Schefter, Jets quarterback Trevor Siemian scheduled to undergo MRI on his ankle Tuesday per source, and then it was 1 minute later, Jets quarterback Trevor Siemian has an MRI scheduled for the morning to check out his injured ankle, source said. So Ian Rappaport was 1 minute late on the Schefter-Mort news three different times on the same day. And after the third time, 1 minute later, after Ian Rappaport's tweet, Chris Mortensen then tweeted out three rats. So it's pretty clear that he's calling Ian Rappaport a rat for just taking their information and tweeting it out a minute later. But he's really not saying anything. But he's saying it. It's pretty clear what's going on here. I don't know what else he could possibly say. Because there was some people that said, well, maybe he means all these Minkah Fitzpatrick tweets and things like that. Maybe it's like rats fleeing the sinking ship. Like, no, it's right after every Ian Rappaport tweet. He keeps doing it.
Well, you know what's going to happen now. I'm sorry to announce, Adam. My love of emojis. I'd never thought of this one.
You're just going to tweet out rats?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't steal his bit.
Oh, I can.
Just find another one.
It's too effective. This is brilliant.
It is pretty good. Do you think maybe it's just the same sources calling both Schefter and Rappaport?
There's a strong possibility.
Mortensen's got it all wrong?
Yeah.
Exactly 1 minute later?
I mean, it happened here in town, right? when UNLV was looking for a coach after Marvin Menzies was gone, and the same source fed like 10 different people that Thad Matto was going to be the head coach, and everyone ran with it.
And then kept doubling back to the same people and sending out, the same source was sending it to multiple people.
Yep.
And the same people kept running with it.
The rat thing should have started here last year.
Should've.
Actually, I guess it would be earlier this year. All right, top two stories.
Number two.
You know what? It's funny with the well, it's not funny. The way the Jets have gone so far, I have shut down. I can't take it. And something happened during the game because I was, you know, I'm hosting the party at Pizza Rock. I didn't see this graphic, but apparently it's just taken off. What did they do with Mono and Sam Darnold?
I saw
on the MNF broadcast.
I saw it. It made me laugh very hard. And I'm not going to lie. Every time I watch it, I still laugh. It's hilarious because, you know, on Monday Night Football now, they have the animated graphics. So they don't just show like a picture of the player. It's like the picture of the player kind of in slow-mo, either winking or pointing at the camera. Or in this case, Sam Darnold slowly kind of he nods, and then like 3 seconds later, he points up straight ahead. And behind him, there's just a big graphic, and it says, out indefinitely, and underneath it, mononucleosis. So like it's supposed to be the graphic of like Sam Darnold, starting quarterback. I'm going to get out on the field and, you know, get out there. And he's pointing ahead very, very, you know, very confidently.
Yes.
And yet the graphic says out mononucleosis. It is hilarious. I don't know why it's that funny to me, but it makes me laugh every single time I see it. And now you can just run with it because somebody has made a meme generator.
What is a meme generator? I didn't even know these existed.
So you just type in whatever you want and it puts it in the place of those.
Really?
That text. Yeah. So now
this might be better than the rat thing 2 minutes ago.
So
I'm on this now.
So I've been on it all day. I've laughed at every single one. And because it's Sam Darnold, he's like looking at the camera, he kind of nods, and then slowly points straight ahead at the camera, and you can make the graphic say anything you want.
Let's do a little test right now. Ari, what do you think of the story? He's in the bathroom, isn't he? Well, that's
I'm listening.
Test.
I'm listening.
I'm
doing other things.
You're the producer of Cofield & Company. What would you do with the story?
I would definitely be posting. I was actually looking for a graphic to at you with on Twitter, first of all.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Exactly.
Out indefinitely.
That
bathroom break.
That gives me hope. Yes. We need meme generators for Adam, myself, and you.
Ooh, this could get dicey.
Yeah.
Good. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Cofield & Company wants dicey.
It's going to be terrible.
No, why?
Good sport.
And we have to do it with the other company members who would be number one person who would flip out about the meme generator.
Oh, Ryan McKinnell.
Yep. Ari?
That's great.
Assignment?
I'm on it.
Given. Enjoy. Stir the pot. Do it, my friend.
I'd like a Bischoff one. Actually, a Jared one would be phenomenal.
Can we do other stations, too? Can we get Frank on this?
I'd be careful.
It would be funny. Let's be honest.
He might not like it.
Yes. Be careful on that one. Top story.
Number one.
It's not really a story. It's a thought, a discussion. Michael Lombardi. Former NFL personnel guy. You can hear him on 920 The Game, often our sister station, when we're running VSIN programming. He was on a DC radio show. You know, it's funny. The beginning of the season around the National Football League, there are probably about seven markets that are like, woe is us. Like, we're the most intense woe is us. It's bad out there. Now, the Redskins are amongst the worst, and it's every freaking year. So, Lombardi threw out the notion that Daniel Snyder needs to call in some help. Yes, there's someone to the south who just got a $93 million contract, Dabo Sweeney. So Lombardi's like, there's not much left for Snyder to do. He needs someone to save this freaking thing. Call Dabo. Could that ever happen? Like, what would you have to pay? Think about the position Dabo Sweeney is in. He's at Clemson. He can write any ticket he wants. When Saban quits, Alabama's going to come over the top with who knows what. I mean, we're talking, like, he could be looking at friggin' LeBron money. Like, he could be the first coach who's making, like, $27 million a year. What would Snyder have to do to steal this guy from college football? How much money?
Well, why would he want it?
I like that response. Why do you say that?
Well, I don't think his act wears with NFL players.
I think he would be a disaster in the NFL. I'm so glad you came with that. Because the way he treats college football players, these are adults now, my friend. And we saw the last time, and it really wasn't the last time the Redskins went down this path. It really wasn't with Steve Spurrier, it wasn't an issue of Steve Spurrier is condescending and, you know, treats his players like crap. Steve Spurrier was just on the tail end and was lazy.
Right.
He just, you know, to be an NFL coach, college coaching is really hard. To be an NFL coach, I mean, we've seen it. John Gruden basically, you know, burned himself out. More Raiders references. John Madden was done at 42. He was just out of it. That was a problem with Spurrier. No, Dabo Sweeney with adults would be a disaster.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, I mean, you just see how he treats the players as, you know, children and, you know, with the, you know, a lot of the religious stuff too. I just don't know that it would fly with NFL players. I think they look at him like, no, I'm not. No, you're not in charge of me as a person.
So are we wrong on Dabo Sweeney? Could he save an NFL franchise? What other college coaches or recent college coaches are going to be the target of several NFL franchises to save things? I think there's an obvious guy out there, and I think he can coach on either level, and the job he's done in college has been amazing to this point.
It's the Big Five at Five, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000.
Tell me about Joe Burrow. Did you know him? Your connections to him?
Joe Burrow, we recruited him at Ohio State. He's from Athens, Ohio. I've talked to him quite often and couldn't be more proud of what Joe's done.
How'd he get out of Ohio?
Well, he played for us for 3 years.
And then he moves on?
He did a grad transfer. Dwayne Haskins and Joe had the battle. It was inches from who was our starting quarterback. And Dwayne won the battle. Joe left as a graduate transfer.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I've probably done that dozens of times in my radio career. We don't know everything at every moment. Man, when I watched that video the first time around, I was like, okay, the beginning of the comment. So that was Cowherd with Urban Meyer talking about Joe Burrows, who's at LSU, who was at Ohio State. And I figured the beginning of the comment, maybe he just phrased awkwardly. But then Cowherd doubled down and said, how did he get out of Ohio? Could he still hide behind the defense? I meant, how did he leave Ohio State? But a lot of people were like, I don't think Cowherd knew that he was at Ohio State before LSU.
No, he clearly didn't. Hmm. Which is fine. Again, as you said.
It happens.
We talk about every single sport, every single day, and every single team. Yeah. We don't know everything about every team.
Hey, you're going to miss stuff. You might forget stuff.
Yeah, and that's a big one. But, it certainly makes sense. He just didn't know.
Interesting.
I don't think you watch as much college football anyway.
You don't lurk? You don't like Urban Meyer.
No.
You have to admit, he handled that pretty nicely.
Sure. But, I mean, it's also...
He could have been like, what?
Yeah.
He played for me. He was on the roster, Colin. What do you mean? How did he get out of Ohio? He was with us. He didn't win the job, and he transferred. Why don't you know that? He could have done that. He didn't do that.
Of course he could have. But he chose not to in this situation. It was maybe one nice thing Urban Meyer's ever done.
One nice thing all time. So, we were just talking about a Mike Lombardi suggestion that the Redskins, who are just broken as hell, that their owner, Dan Snyder, goes and gets Dabo Sweeney. We both think Dabo Sweeney would not be a good NFL head coach. So, first of all, I'm going to give you the teams that are either incredibly broken as organizations or, you know, just will be getting rid of their coach at the end of the year. Tell me which one is the least attractive situation. I'm going to list the Dolphins, which is ridiculous. Flores is in his first year. But we've already seen Cardinals bailed out and Flores isn't. White. Raiders.
Also the coach of the year so far.
Yeah, well, he's doing his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the Dolphins could look to what the Sixers did and say, hey, you know what? We kept this guy on forever because he did what we wanted to. Raiders, I don't think, are getting rid of John Gruden.
No. He might choose to leave.
I was going to say Gruden could walk. Do the Raiders deserve I heard them called on a very dysfunctional. Actually, Cowherd said it. They're very dysfunctional. Should the Raiders be on a list of, like, really broken organizations, or do you think that they're going in the right direction?
Well, they're going in the right direction moving here and the influx of money that they get with that.
But between Davis and Mayock and Gruden, is that the right direction? Ooh, hesitation.
Yeah, I mean, my initial thought is no, it's okay. Not. But, I mean, you know, they're still implementing their plan. We'll see where they go.
You and I both believe that the Giants should be looking for a new GM and coach after the year. I don't think it'll be the GM. John Mara is just really stubborn, so he's not going to want to admit his mistake.
Yeah.
Redskins certainly belong on this list. They're very broken. Jay Gruden, I'm not sure why he's there anymore. They should have cleared the decks. I don't think he's a terrible coach, but it ain't working there. And really, in the end, that was Lombardi's suggestion. Like, Dan Snyder needs someone who's just unbelievable to fix this thing, because Dan Snyder is the common denominator as to why they have sucked so much over the years. I think the Jaguars will be in looking for a coach, especially if, as you call him, Doug
Moron.
Doug Moron is attacking the players, which is actually what happened, not vice versa,
when
he went after Jalen Ramsey, because he came back for a second helping. And the other one, I don't think they're a broken organization, but I think the coach is going to be gone because they may have an underwhelming season, is Dan Quinn and the Falcons. That would be one where I could see the Falcons making a run at a college coach, not Dabo Sweeney. What about Urban Meyer? Why are we looking at this as a foregone conclusion that Urban Meyer is going to be at a place like USC? Why wouldn't a pro franchise give him, you know, $8, $10 million?
Maybe they will. I'm sure somebody might look at him. I wouldn't. I'm not putting my organization in that guy's hands. But I'm sure people will talk to him. I'm sure there's going to be feelers out there to see what his interest is and if he wants to do it.
I wonder. I'm going to wonder aloud. I know what the answer is. If Urban Meyer is rumored to be an NFL head coach, shouldn't the league step in and say, no? We already have New England with every creep and crud and curmudgeon. They had a murderer on the roster. You can't have Urban Meyer in our league. We just, based on the background at Ohio State and, more importantly, Florida, we can't have him in our league. Sorry, fellas.
When he's the one that sent the murderer there. So, no, I don't think the league will or should. I mean, you've allowed New England to do it. You can't, like, have the team that's basically the model for what you're supposed to do in the league by winning.
Which is win at all costs.
Say, no, we can't have another team like that here. It's not fair. I mean, I don't think they're going to do that, or that they would or should do it. I get what you're saying. Like, we can't afford to have another team that doesn't care about character at all and just turns criminals loose on the street. But I think they'll allow teams to hire who they want.
Do you have a college coach, current, former, who would be a savior for an NFL franchise in mind? I have two.
I don't want to see it, but I think Jim Harbaugh would be the guy that people want the most.
That could be three. You're right. And, I mean, there could be a point where he's like, this isn't working. It's my alma mater. It's just not working. I don't think he's done a horrible job, but the expectations are be as good as Ohio State and compete for national titles.
I've been happy with him so far.
I know you have. But you went into it with blinders. You love him.
Yeah, and realistic expectations.
Okay. I'll give you a guy who's not coaching right now, but now there are rumors he might get back in. Bob Stoops. So our buddy Sports by Brooks is reporting that Auburn, the money people, at Auburn, boy, they've always been ready to pull the plug on Gus Malzahn. It's really amazing.
I know.
They're interested. They've targeted Bob Stoops as their guy.
Makes sense.
Is that a case where, hey, you know what? That's where he belongs, college, not the NFL.
Well, we know what he can do, and, you know, we think that he can be successful there. It makes sense. And if you're an NFL team, I think you're looking, like, wondering if he can do it. But if you're a college, you know that he can.
And I think the guy – and he's going to have to be smart about this because he's not in Dabo's position yet, but he's going to have so much freaking leverage. The guy that five or six NFL teams with openings are going to look at is Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they did it last year.
But now it's going to reach another level because I think a lot of people have just assumed, hey, it's Alabama or Clemson. No one else has a chance. Oklahoma has a chance. And if you look up at the end of the year, and Jalen Hurts has, like, 3,800 yards passing, 1,400 yards rushing, what, 52 touchdowns combined. You know what that's going to do for his reputation? Hurts is a fine player.
Yeah.
But what he's done so far, you're like, what, this is insane.
He could turn a kid that was basically run out of a program into a Heisman Trophy winner. Over the Heisman Trophy favorite who stayed at the school.
Yeah.
That's insane. It's a long way to go. But he already was the most coveted, you know, college coaching prospect before that. If he makes that happen, forget it. Every team is just going to be throwing the checkbook at him. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's the most logical guy. Very young. So I think he's 36.
Yeah.
So there's time, and he's going to have plenty of leverage whenever he wants to go.
Willie Taggart will probably be available if this kid at the lemonade stand gets his wish.
True.
This is a weird one, isn't it?
Well,
are they trying to do a GoFundMe? How much money do they need for the Willie Taggart buyout?
$17 million.
And the driving force is a kid selling lemonade?
He's trying to sell enough lemonade to buy out Willie Taggart because he doesn't want to be raised in a world where Florida State is so bad.
What's the price point on this kind of drive per lemonade?
Well, he figures that enough people are supportive of his cause that he'll be able to kind of overcharge a little bit.
What is lemonade? I haven't. Vegas is not really an outdoor lemonade stand for kids. Yeah, I mean, it's. So what's the going rate for the lemonade now? Roadside lemonade.
I mean, I think kids go dollar.
I mean, it's not going to work.
What, too expensive? Or are you saying 17 million cups?
I mean, you got to.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I think it was like 50 cents or a quarter.
It's, who knows? It might have been a nickel when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well,
Koken told me penny? It was a penny. It was five for a penny.
So this kid has decided, and let's be honest, his parents have decided, we're going to sell lemonade for $20 a cup. And try to get that $17 million.
Are there enough FSU football fans who will frequent this kid's lemonade stand to put any sort of dent in this buyout?
I mean, I kind of think there are.
Yeah.
They're crazy. They're passionate. If the lemonade is any good at all, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think you can just sell dirt lemonade and hope to get $20 a cup for it. But I think the cause combined with halfway decent lemonade in the South late summer when it's still humid.
By the way, in no way do I want to sound flippant about people's jobs, because Willie Taggart deserves a lot more time.
Sure.
I think he came into something that was a mess. He looks a bit overwhelmed, and he's not handling the media the right way. So all these guys, you know, it's not like, hey, Dan, screw Dan Quinn, you know. It's a terrible position to be in. In general, let's go back to Dabo with his attitude and the whole, you know, I'm going to fight the kids getting the money, but eventually he's going to be making like $20 million a year from an NFL team or Alabama or Clemson. In general, are college basketball coaches just better people than college football coaches? I couldn't even get that out. Well, it's Tony Bennett. What did Tony Bennett just do?
Well, he turned down a raise. I think.
Who does that?
Well, I think for this.
You think Boeheim's doing that?
He's doing it for everybody to laud him as amazing. But he really did do it.
Okay, what's my favorite phrase now? This is clearly a...
Which one are you going to use?
Virtue signal.
Oh, okay. Perhaps. But he actually did do this.
He did.
So he did say, I refuse a raise in my new contract. I just want better facilities, better travel, better things for my players, and more money for my assistant coaches instead of a raise for me. Which... does a lot of great PR, and then he probably has bonuses built in that is going to make up for all the money anyway.
We close things out here at the TI Golden Circle Sports Bar in just a couple minutes as we'll hit on game one in that playoff series for the Aces against the Mystics.
Visit Cofield's Corner on lvsportsnetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
Hey, hold on. Bagel.
Grab bag. Brought to you by the Golden Nugget Las Vegas.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Oh, no.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
What are you doing? All right, let's get in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Adam, what happened last night with the Aces? You're labeling it a crazy finish. No one took a buzzer beater with 6 seconds left, right?
No, but there was a buzzer beater potentially involved in the situation. Aces were up earlier in the game. Mystics rallied and were up
13 late in the game. Then the Aces came back. They cut it to two. They forced a bad shot with about 5 seconds left. Bill Laimbeer called timeout. You can hear him screaming on the video. It was not granted. He said the referee looked right at him, basically shrugged, and decided not to grant the timeout. So Kelsey Plum pushed the ball up the court. She got off a shot, a runner from around the free throw line at the buzzer that would have tied it. It missed after she was flattened by Elena Deladon getting back on defense. No call on the play. It was a pretty egregious no call. A terrible look for the WNBA officials, made worse by the fact that the cameras on ESPN picked up Deladon going over to the bench and saying to her teammates, "Oh my God, I fouled her," which is not good. That's not a good look for the league. Certainly, you know, it was handled more diplomatically in the post game, but Washington knew they kind of got away with one. Kelsey Plum, by the way, one of the better free throw shooters in the WNBA. You have to assume the game would have been tied up if the foul was called there. But that's just a crazy finish in a WNBA playoff game after the crazy way that they advanced to this round in the WNBA playoffs. So Aces down 1-0. Another game in Washington, two back here in Las Vegas, and if necessary, a fifth game in Washington. But the Aces are trying to advance here, and they would have had a much better chance if not for a blown no call late in the game yesterday.
Back in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
This is a really dumb question, but I'll do it because I know the answer. Where do you stand on Jalen Ramsey and Doug Marrone?
I mean, I'm pro Jalen Ramsey, anti Doug Marrone. But I think you probably could have guessed that before we even asked this question. The Jaguars' asking price appears pretty high. Somebody's going to match it.
It should be.
Of course it should.
Right?
Yeah.
You just don't give them away. The other part of this story that's developing now with AB landing with the Patriots, Minka Fitzpatrick landing with the Steelers, is the growing number of ex-players who are smashing the current players for being out of control and like the NBA. JVT was on yesterday, pointed out nicely when Steve Young went on his rant and was ripping the players to shreds for having too much power now. John's like, "I didn't see him play, but I did a little research." He was like, "Mr. Cofield, old man Cofield, do you remember Steve Young when he moved from the Bucks to the Niners that he actually was originally dealt to the St. Louis Rams and said no? And whined to the owner and got the trade rejected?" It's funny. 30 years later.
Too much power.
Stevie doesn't remember that, huh? Now the players are the bad guys.
It's amazing.
The hypocrisy is and revisionist history is nuts.
It never ends either.
Yep.
And it's, you know, every time it's always, "Oh, this next generation. Oh, these new guys." And you're like, "What about your generation? What about what you guys did? What about what you yourself did?" But they just completely forget about it. I would like to say it's shocking or surprising or anything. It's not. This is what always happens.
If you were the Jaguars, would Ramsey play tomorrow?
Yeah, and Moron wouldn't be there. He'd be playing for a different coach tomorrow.
Well, he's going to win out. I mean, I think there are people who could make the argument that it was Marrone who went in for a second dip to scream at and potentially fight Ramsey. But what do you think, Tom Coughlin's going to take the player side?
No, I don't.
As an old school guy who was, you know, a big yeller and screamer and disciplinarian,
which, by the way,
is hilarious because the guy who lacked discipline in the Ramsey v. Marrone fight was Doug Marrone.
Yeah, of course it was, and he instigated it, then he went back at it after it was already dying down, and the player, you know, Jalen Ramsey was already at the bench, and Moron has to go jump in it more. The guy is clueless. But I would absolutely keep Jalen Ramsey and fire Doug Moron.
Can you find a good coach more easily than you can find the second, third, fourth best cornerback in the NFL for the next 8 years?
Yeah, and what has he done anyway?
Right.
What has he done to deserve that spot anyway?
Next up.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Kevin Durant has a lot of free time, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
So, KD unplugged last week, said what? At least to get the attention of Steph Curry, who's not really a big talker when it comes to you know, that interpersonal relationship stuff with players and, you know, with teammates and former teammates.
Durant said nobody could get a full acceptance of me there, talking about Golden State. He had some critiques for the motion offense. He said the offense we ran in Golden State, it only works to a certain point.
What?
Yeah. It's a pretty good offense.
Is he complaining? Is he suggesting he didn't get enough shots? He wasn't the focal point?
And I think he wanted more ISO looks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So Steph Curry responded. He was doing an interview on ESPN. He said, I don't care what plays we ran. We won two championships. And at the end of the day, we had a lot of talent. There was an expectation of us figuring out how to balance all that. We talked a lot about it throughout the three-year run. It wasn't always perfect, but I think in terms of the results and what we're able to do on the floor, that kind of speaks for itself. We all want to play ISO ball at the end of the day in some way, shape, or form, but I'd rather have some championships too. Diplomatic.
Oh, but shots fired.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Good job by Angel. Thank you, Adam. We're back together tomorrow just across the strip. Flamingo and Paradise. Silver Sevens will be the location. Big show on the way. Randy Couture is going to join us for a decent amount of time in hour number one. So if you're a fan of the MMA legend, a fan of UFC, come on down to Silver Sevens and meet Randy Couture. All right, have a good night. We'll see you.